into today. Today's part seven, man, and we're going to talk about a topic that is not very, it's hard, right? It's hard because how many of you know we want to do right, but a lot of times we don't do it, be honest, right? How many of you want to do right? You want to get up every day, do what you're supposed to do. Sometimes it doesn't work out that well, right? Sometimes the obedience factor leaves us. And so we're going to talk about why it is good to obey God today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Part one, we talked about how God is good, how amazing he is. How part number two, he's good to rescue us. Part three, good to heal. Part four, good for comfort and for hope. And then how it is good for us to honor him, good for us to know him. And today we're going to talk about obedience. Next week we're going to talk about trust. I mean, you know, trust is important too, right? So we're going to talk about it today, about obedience. And one of the first things that I want to bring out to you and to tell you, and a lot of people kind of find controversy in this. Some do, some don't. Some look at it and say, yeah, it's right. But obedience in our lives brings blessing. You can see it all through the Word of God. Obedience is what brings blessing. When we start to look at all of the different people in the scripture, we see how they were obedient to him, and then God fulfilled the promises that he gave. Right? Okay. We're going to get there. So you know how Aaron had a rough week last week? This was my time after so I'm kind of scattered today. But we're going to do good today. God's going to do good today. I'm hoping that it's the struggle that kept from this, right? So we'll see what's up. Anyway, obedience. If we look at what obedience is, it is by definition a compliance with an order, a request, or a law, or submission to another one's authority, right? That's what obedience is. And when we look at the Word of God, there are a lot of things that God tells us to do. Again, when we give our life to Christ, I love how Paul starts off most of his messages, most of his letters. He says, he talks about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you know those are two separate things, right? He's our Savior. He paid for it on the cross. He paid for it to be there. But the Lordship comes when we put him in that place in our life, right? And this is the thing. This is the thing. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have one without the other. You have both or you don't have it. And this is what he says in his scripture that he wants us to understand, that he wants us to be either for him or not for him. You say, where does it say that? In the book of Revelations, it says, you wish you were hot or cold, but you're neither, so I spit you out of my mouth. Right? So he wants us to be on fire for him and going for him, or he'd rather us just not. Why? Because what happens when we're not on fire for him? We give a bad representation of who he is. We mess up what people look at and say, this is what God is supposed to be. I don't want that. Right? Do you know people can spot hypocritical a mile away? So one of the things that we need to understand about our lives as Christ followers is there has to be obedience. So there's one of two things. You can be either be obedient or disobedient. There's no in between. Y'all with me? All right, it's a tough message today, so y'all stick with me. All right, y'all aren't, it's not rainbows and Skittles today. But it is a good one, so I want us to get it. It's important. You can have one or the other, but you can't have both. One of the things that we see in the book of 1 Samuel. Now, this isn't in your notes. There's a lot of stuff not in your notes, so you're going to have to write it in, all right? 1 Samuel 15, 22, and 23. There are a lot of things that we do as a church that look right, that look holy, that look like we have things together, that look like we're doing things the right way. And matter of fact, before Jesus came, especially with the giving, the tithes and the offerings, it was a spectacle and a show to show, look how holy I am because this is what I'm doing. That's where the story of the woman with the two mites comes in, the widow's mites. And she said, he says she gave more than all these people because she gave out of what she didn't have, out of her lack. And they're all giving out of their abundance. And they still, this is again, Toby's translation, but they still got a lot more. And they're looking really holy. The thing about it is God doesn't want us to look holy. He wants us to be holy. He doesn't want us to look holy. He wants us to be holy. He doesn't want us to go through the motions of what the church should be. He wants us to do it because we love him, because we want to, and because it's our heart to do it, right? This is what it says in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. It says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is inequality and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. So we see here, Saul is the king. He, remember the whole situation? We talk about it constantly, about how David said, I've sinned against God. Saul said, hey, just make me look good in front of the people, and then we'll deal with it all later on, right? This is what comes out of trying to look good in front of people, trying to look holy and not have obedience in your life. This is what it looks like. And I want to go through some people in the scripture, and I want you to see something, that great moves of God are often preceded by simple acts of obedience. Great moves of God. Things, when God does amazing things, when God makes promises, the covenants that he makes, they all come with obedience behind it. Abraham, what does he say to him in Genesis 12, 1 through 3? He says, leave your home. Right now, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country to your kindred, to your father's house, and to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we see that right there. And what do we see Abraham do? Pack up, leave, and go. Sometimes we want to know where we're going, how we're supposed to get there, how long it's going to take before we are obedient to God. You know, that's most of the time, that's not how it works. Okay, 99% of the time, that's not how it works. He says, go do this. They're like, okay. And then they find out along the way how they're going to do it and how it's going to happen. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place where it says count the cost before a man builds a house. He counts the cost, right? You have to put some factors in. You have to think about some things. Don't just run out the door and be like, I'm serving God, and take off, right? You do have to find out what he wants you to do. But a lot of times it doesn't happen until you start moving on it, until obedience comes. And one of the cool things that we see about my obedience, it not only blesses me, but it blesses other people. Your obedience not only blesses you, but it blesses other people. We see going on in Genesis chapter 22, the angel of the Lord, or God comes to Abraham and says, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to give him up. Now, why God would do that, why that was a thing, that's a whole nother message, right? We're going to stay on this part, and we're going to say obedience. He says, okay, I'm going to do it. As they're walking up the mountain, be like, hey, we got the wood, Dad, where's the sacrifice? What does he say? Well, it's you, just come on, kid. No, he said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. A lot of times he wants us to step out and to start working in obedience and doing things, and he's going to give us what we need when we need it. Do you realize if he would have gave him the ram in the thicket? One, he would not have seen the faithfulness of Abraham and how Abraham says, no matter what you say, I'm going to trust you. Why is that a big deal? Because Isaac was his only son. His only begotten son. Does that sound familiar? Anyway, he was his only son, and he says, I want you to give this to me. And Abraham has one of two things that he can do in his mind. Say, no, it's my kid, I'm keeping it. Or say, God, you promised that through this son, generations would come. And he don't have any kids yet. So that means you're going to do something different. I don't understand it, but I'm going to walk in it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it, right? Sometimes we need to stop thinking about how, think this thought, just how my brain works, y'all. I'm just going to be real. Had they had a ram, somebody had to carry that thing. Right? He saved them from having to carry a ram, having to feed it on the way up, having to take care of it. You know, you got to pick up. You can't just leave it behind. So you got to clean up after it. You got to do all these things. He kept him from having to do those things and provided for him. But one of the things that I love about this is it says, now I see your faith. Now I know that you won't withhold anything from me. Now I know. And then what happens? He goes on and he reiterates what he says to him. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sands that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Because obedience comes, look at the blessing that happens. Then we come on down to 26, and it's Isaac. God is dealing with Isaac, not Abraham, right? Chapter 26, verse 22 and 5. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your offspring, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. I will multiply your offspring as the star of the heaven. I will give your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my charge, my voice, kept my commands, my statutes, and my law. One of the things that we see is that you and I are blessed because Abraham was obedient. Why? Because Jesus is from the lineage of Abraham. All of the world will be blessed. That's me and you. Because one man decided to be obedient. Let me ask you, how many people could your obedience change their lives? Think that thought. Think that thought. The Messiah comes from his bloodline. You and I have it because of it. We go on to see Moses in Pharaoh's court, right? God uses Moses to go. He says, hey, man, go to this place. He could be like, look, don't you know they're trying to kill me? You know that they have a thing out on me and that I can't go back there because of my past, because of what I've done. Let me tell you something, man. Your past and what you've done doesn't keep you from the ministry and what God has for your life. Remember that. What is Moses' obedience in this do? It brings forth the freedom from bondage of the people of Israel. Obedience. He didn't want to go stand in front of Pharaoh. He was like, man, I can't even speak. So some slow of speech. Some people think it was a speech impediment. Maybe he just didn't know. I don't know. They can argue that point. What matters is he had a reason why he couldn't do it. Don't you see? Man, one of the things that you see in the scripture, most of all the people God called, all have a reason why they can't do what God wanted them to do. And they argue with God about why. God, don't you know who I am? Yeah, he does. And that's why he called you. Do you realize? Kendra and I was talking about this before service, but not exactly like this. But do you realize that it is the people that are completely messed up that God usually uses? So if you feel like you're worthless, like you can't do something, you're exactly the person God wants to use to do amazing things. Part of the reason behind that is because pride doesn't get in the way. That's just a Toby thought. Let me tell you this. Sometimes blessing even comes out of disgruntled obedience. Jonah, right? He got to spend 3 days in the belly of a fish before he went, and the whole city came. Do you know what? Maybe if he'd went like he was before he spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, they wouldn't have listened to him. But because of the shape he was in, after being in the belly of something and the stomach, that's how my brain works, man. bleached hair, clothes all falling off. He's like, come to God. They're like, okay, whatever you say, man. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to end up like you. If you don't listen, you will end up like this. Like, give me some Jesus, right? That's, anyway. We see the whole town come to him, right? Because of obedience. Disgruntled. He didn't want to go. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay. Yes, you will. Do you know Nahum in the book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, he has got leprosy. He was in charge of battalions and high up, and he has leprosy, so he has to be away from things. And he sends somebody to the man of God, and the servant girl comes back and says, hey, he says, go dip in the river 7 times. He's like, how dare he not come talk to me himself? Like, I figured he would come, he would do his priestly thing or whatever, and then I'd be healed. And now he's going to tell me to go. Do you know how nasty that river is? That river's disgusting. He wants me to go and do. How dare him do that? And the servant girl says, just do it. So what happened? And he got 7 times. And then what happened? He came up healed. Blessing still came, even though he was being an idiot about it. Do you know blessing can still come in your life, even if you're being an idiot about it? thank God for that. Amen. All the things that we see in God's word about people and about things that God does in their life come after obedience. John 14:21 says this, whoever has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you're having a hard time seeing God in your life, seeing God moving and working, maybe we need to work on some obedience in our life so that we can see him. Maybe we need to get in the word and find out what those things are. And that brings us to the first point. Ready? This is going to be 3 areas of obedience that we need to work on. You and me, both, all of us together. First of all, obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the word of God. God's word. So even if you go back into the Old Testament and you look at some of the things that God set into place, some of the things that we don't do today, as far as dietary things and as far as all these different issues, you know, not only did it separate them from the rest of the world, right? Come out from among them, be you separate, right? It separated them from the rest of the world. But it also had it had a ton of health benefits that kept them healthy, right? I'm one to talk, you could tell. A lot of the things that we eat are what destroys our bodies. A lot of the lack of doing the right thing is what makes us have to go to the doctor over and over and over, right? Again, this is... Can I let you in just a second to my inside? A lot of times I feel like a hypocrite because I say the right things because I know what the Word of God says. But then when I look at my life, I don't do it. So it's hard for me to stand up and say, this is what you need to do. Be like, yeah, guy, go get another cheeseburger, right? That's how I feel, right? Just to be honest. Obedience is what has to take place in our life for what God wants to do with our life, man. And that's in all aspects. All aspects. When we look in his word, he tells us how we're supposed to live our lives. When we look in the Old Testament, there's a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. Do you know what I love about what Jesus said about the old laws and rules and regulations? He's bringing about the point that I talked to you guys about the offerings and about giving and about how you look holy. He's like, you tithe on your mint and your dill and all these things that you get. And you should do these things. That's what he says. He doesn't say, go away from them. That's dumb. You shouldn't do it. He says, and you should do these things, right? But you've forgotten the weightier matters, which goes back to what we talked about last week about the relationship with God. Obedience still needs to be a part of our life, but we need to know God. Or the obedience is nothing but us looking good to the world. Let's go back to that first scripture that we talked about. We need to understand, again, going back to Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Obedience. Relationship. Again, he commands us. One of the biggest things that we need to do, we need to think about, and we read this scripture, but if you look at our lives, a lot of times it doesn't bear it out. Romans 12:22, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. Think this thought. If I put my life next to the people that do not serve God, is there a difference between them? When I stand in front of my employer at work, right? Someone who serves God, someone who doesn't serve God, do I look the same? Do you know, as children of God, we shouldn't? Because we're not working as to that employer, we're working as to the Lord. So it should look totally different. In every aspect of our lives, we should be different. We shouldn't be conformed. One of the other things that we need to look about when we're obeying the word of God is that obedience, I think it's on the screen for you, obedience to God cannot be based on what I feel, which changes. It has to be based on who he is, which does not. It's one of the things Aaron said earlier. It says, the world changes. Stuff changes. My feelings change. But God doesn't. He's the same. My obedience cannot be based on the way that I feel. It can't be. Because this is the thing. We see it both ways. We see disobedience being painful. Again, go back to Noah. Right? Or Jonah. Sorry. Jonah. Noah's next. Go back. Sorry, brain's working faster sometimes. Go back to Jonah, the belly of the whale. Not uncomfortable, not very comfortable. Not like a first-class ticket. You look at Paul being taken to Rome. He wants to go on his own terms. Guess what? He got taken there, shipwrecked, strapped to a guard. That's not the way that he saw it going, I'm sure. But think this thought. It was an all-expense-paid trip, right? He didn't have to come out of pocket for that. Anyway. Wasn't where he wanted to be. Wasn't what he wanted. Obedience sometimes is not without pain, right? Disobedience, I'm sorry, is not without pain. But obedience sometimes is not without pain as well. We need to understand that it's not about our feelings. Ask Joseph about that. Being in prison, being sold as a slave, right? What did Joseph say at the end when his brothers came to him? This is what I love, and I wish, I pray God help me to be like this. He says, don't blame yourself because God sent a man to Egypt. Don't blame yourself that you sold me into slavery, that you didn't like me, that you were angry, that you were... See, that's how I would do it. Like, don't be upset that you did this, this, and this, and this to me. Because God is good, and he sent me here, not you, right? Oh, I don't see him having that thought process. He said, God sent a man. Don't blame yourself because you did these things. God brought me here so that I can be a blessing to you right now. Do you know we're supposed to be a blessing to the people that mean us evil? That's hard to stomach sometimes because I want them to get their comeuppance. Right? Comeuppance. Does anybody say that anymore? Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of the younger people are like, huh? Anyway, I want them to get what's coming to them. Not understanding that I don't want what's coming to me. Sometimes obedience can be very painful. Ask Jesus when he went to the cross. He's like, I don't want to do this. God, if there's any other way. Now, I don't think he was disgruntled at the time. I'm pretty sure he wasn't. But he was saying, God, if there's any other opportunity for us to get the same result, but if not, I'm going to do it anyway. Because I love you. Because I see what's going to come out of it at the end. See, that's one of the things about a lot of our situations. We don't see what's going to come out of it at the end. So we have to use faith that God is in control and that he's going to bring good out of it somehow, some way. Because if he shows us the end result, it's not faith anymore. If he shows us the end result, it's us just following what he said was going to happen. So we're just going there. There is some background to that, though, because God does tell us in his word what he will do when obedience comes from our lives. When obedience to his word comes from our lives. And although it sounds really, really good, and this is something that I've heard many, many times, that God blesses everybody regardless. And that sounds holy, but it's not in his word. The only thing that God did for each and every one of us that didn't deserve it was send his son so that we could have access to him. But the blessings that he has for us come from obedience to him. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 5. Says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. There's that one, remember I told you where I think about the guy running and then the guy coming from behind him with football gear and just tackling him, right? The blessings of God, that's how I want the blessings of God to take me out, right? Anyway, that's where that verse comes from, for those of you that were wondering. Verse 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your herd, and of your young, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket, and in your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And that is amazing, right? To have all those blessings. But what does it come from? From the obedience, right? And again, where we say, well, God blesses everybody. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 18. Remember how you can have disobedience or obedience? You can have blessing or you can have curse in your life as well, according to the scripture. Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 18 says, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. You shall be cursed in the city, you shall be cursed in the field. Cursed shall your basket be and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of the ground and the increase of your herds and of the young of the flock. Cursed shall be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. So again, how do you want your life to go when it comes to your relationship with God? Do you want to choose obedience or do you want to choose disobedience? Again, one of the things that drives me crazy is when people say, well, if God is a good God, how can he send people to hell? He doesn't. We choose to go there. It's a choice. I set before you this day, blessing and cursing. I want you to choose life and death. I want you to choose life. That's what I want. Remember, it says God wishes that all would come to repentance. It doesn't mean that all will. It doesn't mean that all will. Again, we go back to the thought process of free will. And this is one of the things that no one is ever too far from God. Some people might choose to never come to him. And that is where we see the issue that I just talked about. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says this. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ears dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. You ever wonder if God hears you or not? Look at your life and see, are the iniquities that you have in your life keeping you separated from him? Just a thought. That's a hard, like, this is a hard message, y'all, today. I'm just going to be real. But we need to hear it. We need to hear it. God's hand is not shortened. He can save anyone. But if I want to choose to have these things, remember, I go back to when my dad picked me up from the military and brought me to the house that I live in today. He said, you can come, son, but the drugs cannot. So either you choose them and come and have everything that I have, or you choose to keep them and not be able to come into my home. Did my dad not love me because he's going to kick me out of his home? No. But he understands the issues that are going to come with the sin that I have in my life, and that can't be in his presence. Now, I just switched from my dad to God, so my earthly father to my heavenly father. So my dad's not that holy, right? He lets me come into his house, even though I got issues, right? Anyway, do you know what? We prayed, God took it away, and I haven't touched drugs since then. June 11th of 1996, okay? God can do some amazing things, but what I can't do is bring my sin and move into his house. And that's what we want to do. We want to come into God's house and have his acceptance and have his blessing, but we want to keep our sin. Now, I get, again, we were talking before service, I'm going to fall down. You're going to fall down. You're going to mess up. Look, I messed up a whole lot this week. Do you know what the definition of sin is? To know right and not do it. Do you know I had probably 5 different times this week where in my head it was like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But you know what? I did it anyway. Because I'm going to do it. Because I can. Do you know what? Those 5 instances, I didn't show the love of God in my life. Most people would have thought I didn't even have him. Just to be real. Right? We need to understand that God wants us. He gave his son for us, but we can't bring the junk with us. There has to be obedience to his word. What does his word say? Don't do this. Don't do that. We can point out all the things that don't do. But again, when I come to him, we live under the dispensation of grace, right? Thank you, Jesus, that you're not going to zap me dead right now because I did something dumb. Y'all, I'm grateful for it, right? I'm still here. That's it. No, I ain't going to say it. It was funny. No, my daughter ran out and she said something to Kendra. She's like, oh, I was going to come back for you. I'm like, no, you weren't. Girl, you're in church. Don't lie. We're going to get struck up in here. Look, it doesn't work that way anymore, right? We're going to stand accountable, just not today. But listen, man, are we allowing things to be a part of our life that don't need to be, that are keeping us from God? Think that thought. We have access through the blood of Jesus to get to the Father. What does that do? It cleanses our sins. Takes away all iniquity. But this is what we want to do. We want to come get our sins washed and clean. Then we want to go jump back into mud puddles and then run and jump on God's lap. Think that thought. Like, I'm clean now. It's okay. I'm going to run, jump in the putt. I'm going to play in the world all I want to play. And then I want to come right back like nothing ever happened. It doesn't work that way. Paul says, carry your cross daily. Every day. You know what? Every day I get up and say, God, I messed up yesterday. Sometimes it was a lot. Sometimes it was just a little. But I'm pretty sure every day I do something dumb. Every day I go to him and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the stuff that I'm doing. You say, well, you don't need to do that. Well, you don't need to do that. I feel like I need to. You can do you and I can do me. That's how I feel about getting baptized. There's people say, if you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. I don't believe that. But at the same time, I've been baptized, so I'm good, right? Just in case. I didn't do it so that I could be saved. I did it to show other people what he did in my life. The death, burial, and resurrection. That I'm a new creation. And that the old is gone with him. And what he did for us at the cross. And now I'm a new creation. A new creature. Right? That's why I did it. So other people could see. Look. So we had a friend of the family that used to go to our church in Apopka. And they used to be in the youth group with us. Right, and her mother just passed away. We need to pray for their family. But what happened was is Lacey told her that I was now a pastor, and it took a bit of convincing for her to understand that I truly was a pastor now. Like this is like 30 something years ago, y'all. But there had to be some convincing done that I'm different, that I'm new, that there's a change. There has to be a change. How does that come? That comes through obedience, through people seeing it. In our lives, God's hand isn't shortened. He can do it. He can still save us. we keep on going down in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. It's not in your notes either. Write it down. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who return from their transgressions, who would stop doing the things that they've been doing, who would be obedient to God's word. That's what this is saying. What did John the Baptist say the whole time? Repent. Repent. Get rid of the stuff that you don't need to have in your life. Turn away from the things that you don't, that keep you from God. Turn from their transgression, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. Let me clear something up right there, because it sounds like he's saying, hey, you're not going to talk about it. That's not what he's saying. It's saying it's all you're going to talk about. My word is not going to depart from your mouth. It will be on your lap, on your lips. You will speak it. Your children will speak it. Your grandchildren will speak it. That's why I love the fact my kid wants to play church and get up and tell people how good Jesus is. She's almost 12. I love that fact. Why? Because I want them to be able to be used of God. Obedience to his word. Next thing. I want them to be used of God. Obedience to his calling. How many of you know he's got a calling and a purpose for each and every one of us? Do you know what? A lot of times we don't like the calling that we've been given, so we don't walk in it, and we never will receive another calling. Where's the scripture come? He who is faithful in little will be given much. Do you know the opposite of that one? If you're not faithful with a little bit, you ain't going to give him much. You're not going to be given a lot to do. You can't. Tell somebody Jesus loves you as they walk in the door at church. He's probably not going to give you something else to do. Just a thought. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. It's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We need to be faithful in the purpose that God has given to each and every one of us. You say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm going to tell you something that every Christian in here has, and we talked about it time and time and time and time again. Every one of us have the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us have been given this ministry. What does that mean? We bring people and say, look how good God is. Look at the change that he made in me. Look at what happened. But do you know what? If they're looking at you like, there's a change. Did you change your hair or maybe your shirt? You're wearing a different shirt today, right? What change do they see in our lives? What change do they see? Do you know what? Obedience brings some amazing things. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to stop. 1 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all is new. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's talking to anyone who belongs to Christ. Anyone who belongs to God. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. One of the things we did in our Bible study not too long ago, we went over this verse. One of the things, the questions that I asked that was a part of our study was, have you transferred your, oh, I can't think of the word, where you live, residence, yeah. Citizenship. There, that'll work too. Your citizenship from earth to heaven so that you're an ambassador here. Do people know you're an ambassador? Do you know one thing about an ambassador? And again, we talked about this not too long ago, man. One of the things about an ambassador is people that have never been to America see America through the person that we send there to represent us. Well, and what they see on TV. So there's that. Now that the internet's, the interwebs out there, right? So there's that. So they see America because of the person we send there to say they represent us. How do we represent heaven? How do we represent God? How do we do that? We do that through obedience. One of the things that you need to understand about ministry too, like, well, I can't do that. Obedience oftentimes, I think it's on the screen, oftentimes will call you out of your comfort zone. If you can do it, why does he need to use you to do it? He gets no glory out of it. Look what a great job you did. Rob, you did a great job. I'm glad you could do that in your own strength. Didn't even need God to help, right? He doesn't call us to do things like that. If he's calling you to a ministry, it's probably something you're going to be uncomfortable with. Something you're going to have to stretch yourself to do. But we don't want to be stretched. We want to be comfortable. Well, stay in Egypt. Because disobedience brings bondage. Disobedience brings chains. Obedience brings freedom and blessing. Calls you out of your comfort zone. Again, look at all of them, man. Do you know, what I think is hilarious when they made Saul king? Do you know where they found Saul? Head and shoulders above everybody else. Big dude. He was hiding in the luggage. Read your Bible. He was hiding in the luggage. Like, you're going to be our king. Come out of the luggage. Stop being scared. Stand up in front of everyone. You're king now. You're not supposed to hide in luggage. But I'm scared, right? Think that thought. Hiding in a wine press. On the backside of the desert. Watching sheep. So, the next thing we want to talk about. Last one. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is what Paul calls it. So walking by the Spirit means being obedient to the Spirit. So to the laws and the commands which the Spirit brings to your remembrance when temptation comes. Do you remember this scripture? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Do you know the way of escape that he sends to us? The Holy Spirit saying, hey, man, come this way. Come away from that. Don't do that thing. Remember the voice that we, like, I'm big, I'm going to get off the porch if I want to? That one? That's how he gives us a way of escape. See, we use this scripture and we're like, look, man, he ain't going to put on nothing on you you can't handle. Listen, if you can handle it yourself, he's not going to put it on you when it comes to ministry. So, man, we misuse scripture so much in the scripture, y'all. That's one of them. He says when a temptation comes, you can overcome the temptation. I've given you my Spirit. He gives you power, right, to be my witnesses. We can't be his witnesses if we're bound up in sin. The witness there isn't us being like, oh yeah, I saw what happened there. It is standing up and saying, this is what God has done. This is what he can do. That's the kind of witness it is. He's given us a way to get out of it. But the problem is that we won't walk by the Spirit. We won't obey the Spirit when it talks to us. We won't even listen for it. We won't try to look for it. It's like when I've got an issue, I'm not going to use y'all. I'm going to say me. When I've got an issue, do you know the people I call to talk about my issue? People that are going to agree with what I have to say about my issue? No, y'all don't do that, I'm sure. But that's what we do. We'll listen to the first thing that comes into our head that goes along with what we want to do and be like, yep, that was God right there. That was him. When we know for a fact that it wasn't. Do you know when somebody wants to do something and they want you to be able to not say no in Christianese? They's like, God told me that I'm supposed to do this. I'm just going to be real. Because I can't tell you God didn't tell you to do this. I can tell by the fruit that comes after it whether God did tell you to do it or not, or whether you just thought it was a good idea. Just going to be honest. So this is the thing that we need to understand. If we walk in the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, if we follow the Spirit, if we're obedient to the Spirit, then we will overcome temptation. We will. So if you're not overcoming temptation, you need to take a step back and say, God, I'm missing your spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm not hearing you. Help me declutter what's going on in my head so that I can hear you. Because I'm missing it and I don't want to. None of us get up and be like, I really hope I blow today. Let's just blow it up, man. I really hope I can destroy some relationships today. Won't it be great? No. We all get up wanting to do the right thing, but we allow ourselves to get in the way. We don't allow the Spirit to lead us and guide us. We want to do our own thing. And again, when we do our own thing, what does that do? It brings us out of the blessings of God. Our nature is to disobedience. That's what our nature is. You say, well, he's given me a new nature. Well, then walk in it. Walk in it. This is one of the things that I saw. Remember I tell y'all, you're supposed to have one thing that you remember, one thing, and I ask all y'all, like, what's your favorite point? So y'all remember what your favorite point is, because if I come to you after service, you'll be like, oh, I got to look at my notes. Remember it. Do you know what my one thing is? I found it yesterday when I was looking and researching and doing some different things. This is like an add-in at the last minute. Instead of using the words, I'm human, to excuse a walk in the flesh, let's use the words, I'm saved, as a reason to walk in the Spirit. Let's stop saying, it's okay that I've got that because I'm just human. No. Let's say, I'm saved. That's unacceptable. I'm saved. I need to do what's right. I need to do what God commands me to do. I need to walk in the Spirit. Instead of using it, I'm just human. I'm in the process. I'm just going through it. Now, granted, there is a process. We talked about that earlier. There is a process, right? But the problem is I live my life the way I want to live it, and then I call it a process. Do you know that's wrong? Just in case you were wondering. There is a process. There are things that we're going to struggle through, that it's going to be hard for us to let go, that he's saying, give it to me, please give it to me, please give it to me. And I'm like, well, I'm hanging on to this one for a little bit, but I'll give you everything else. Do you know that's not how it's supposed to work? Not how it's supposed to work. And this is one of the things that you will see. How do I know if I'm walking by the Spirit? How? There will be fruit. And fruit that remains. Not rotten fruit. How many of you know a good tree, sometimes if you live with that one fruit and you just hang on to that one fruit, it gets rotten. You know how I know? I had some bananas on my counter the other day. They were bad. April left. The girls were growing. I didn't mess with them. It was bad, y'all. It was good fruit at one time. But how many of you know the fruit? Let me say it. How do I say it? It's like the high school quarterback that's 45 now and still living in the days of when he was four, when he was 18, how great it was. Do you know what? That fruit's gone. By 45, you should have some new fruit. Do you know what? We hold on to the fruit of what we've done for God in the past and don't worry about the fruit of today. Sometimes. Just because we've done it then doesn't mean that we get to stop. There will be fruit that comes from our life as long as we are here. Walking by the Spirit, and incredible things happen again. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It will begin to grow in your life. Let me tell you what some of them are. Peace, love, joy, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. If you're missing some of those things, you look at your tree. Your branch, not the whole tree, right? He's the tree where the branch, vine where branches. You get what I'm saying? Maybe there needs to be some cutting back of some stuff that doesn't need to be there. You know it's important to do sometimes. It's important to cut and trim back, and like in gardening, right? If you don't clip the nasty dead stuff, then all of the nutrients and all of the things start heading towards that, and it makes the rest of the plant struggle. When if you would just take some time, it's like, hey, this isn't good. I need to take this off. It's painful, I'm sure, sometimes in our lives. Pruning, it's very painful. I mean, I doubt the trees are crying, but you get what I'm saying. In our lives, when trimming comes, when things are cut away from our lives, sometimes it hurts. But if it allows us to grow, is it worth it? Yes. Because what happens? It grows unruly. It gets out of hand. You can't come around it. The fruit that comes from it is disgusting. Anyway, just a thought. John 14, 15 through 17. The simple believes everything. The prudent gives thought to his steps. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. But the foolish is reckless and careless. A man of a quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Why am I reading this scripture right now? Because we get to choose what we're going to do. I get to choose whether I'm going to be wise, whether I'm going to follow the Spirit, whether I'm going to keep my mouth shut and just allow God to take care of certain things, or whether I'm just going to be dumb and blow up, act foolishly, cause problems, and ultimately be hated. Do you know you could do a million things right, and you could mess up one thing, and everything is destroyed? Just a thought. That's why it's so important that we count the cost. We take care of what we need to do. We're obedient to the word of God. We listen to him when he tells us what to say, what not to say, and then we don't say it, right? Or what to say, and then we do it. Obedience is always followed by blessing, always. Show me one time in a scripture where obedience happened and blessing didn't come. Now, show me one time in the scripture where disobedience came and blessing did come. I don't think you're going to find it. I don't think you're going to find it. So why would we think that our lives would be any different? Just a thought. All this stems on a relationship with God, a relation as we spoke about last week. And this is what I want you to understand. From this moment on is what we're responsible for right now. We can't change 5 minutes ago. We can be upset by it. We can be frustrated by it. We definitely need to learn by our past. But what we need to focus on is our next step. This step. This is what I need to do right now. This is what I need to do right now. This is what I need to do right now. And do you know what ends up happening when we start following the Spirit and walking in the steps that he's given to us? How far our relationship, how far our ministry, how far our impact for him will be unthinkable. But do you know what it takes? First step of obedience. First step of, I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm going to go. I know I can't accomplish this on my own, so you're going to have to help me. That's why I'm going to pay attention to where you tell me to step. And when we do that, man, when we do that, not only our lives will change, but like Abraham, our lives will change people for generations. That's the kind of impact I want to have in my life. I want people years from now, lives to be different. Not because, oh, didn't Pastor Toby do great? No, I don't care if they give me credit or not. I want their lives to be different because I was here, because I spoke, because I walked the life that I walked. As jacked up as it can be sometimes because of my own stupidity, I want lives to be touched and to be changed and to be moved. Because if they're not, why are we doing what we're doing? Why? Why? Anyway, starts off like this. Relationship with him from right this moment on. Regardless of where you've been and how long you've served him. Again, we're probably going to do it every Sunday, so just get ready. From this moment on, where is my life at? Am I following after you? Am I living a life that's worthy of the sacrifice of your son? And I think if we were all honest with our lives, we would say, no, we're not. We're striving to, we're trying to, but there's a lot of areas that we fall short in. How many of you know we still need to give those areas to God? I don't want to be a good enough Christian. Like it's not the desire of my heart. I want to be holy. That's what he says, be holy as I'm holy. Now, do I fall down to a mess up? Yes, I do. But then I get back up and say, all right, man, God help me, because I just royally messed that one up. That's what we need to do. You want to give your life to Christ this morning? You want to turn everything around this morning? We're going to say a prayer. Prayer doesn't do it. It's not the prayer. Words, look, people say stuff all the time and don't mean it. Yeah, all right, I'm going to make light for a minute. Again, one of my favorite jokes that came to my head, and I don't remember how I think we were sitting around talking before service, and it was about I wish, like, when people lied, that God would zap them, like one of those, you know how you have that, like, you remember when you played the game Operation as a kid, and you touched the side, and you took the tongue, and it zzzed you? Some of us were dumb. We did it for fun. Yes, but it's okay. Do you know, I wish that when people lied, that would happen. But we were sitting here, and dude, it's hilarious to me, man. It still is. Do you know where it would be most messed up? Was when people sing, "I surrender all to God." I surrender. We had to change it to "I surrender most," right? Then we wouldn't get zapped. I surrender some, right? That's what we... Sorry, y'all. My brain is messed up and works in weird ways. I understand that. But today's our time to give him everything. Today's our time to look back and say, hey, what am I holding back? What do I have in my life that would or could separate me from you? Because that's what I want to get rid of. Aaron, come on back up, man. Dear Heavenly Father, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Kinder too, if you're coming. I ask that you would see our hearts now. I ask that you see that we want to serve you. We want to give you our everything. And I ask now, Holy Spirit, that you would help us with the self-control. God, I ask that you would allow us to clean out our minds of the noise, the clutter, the voices that are there that would muffle the Holy Spirit's voice, that would keep us from hearing it. I ask that you'd help us get rid of the attitudes that are in us that say, I don't want to listen to it. I want to do my own thing right now. I ask that you would help us give you our everything, surrender our all, that you would help us be who you created us to be. Allow us to see your word, be obedient to it. Allow us to be obedient to your ministry, and allow us to be obedient to your spirit. We ask it now in Jesus' name.